The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gau Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gau Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Our number 2-713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like, send a message. Aaron will read it. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At A.J. is The Real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates975. And for this segment, at Latin Zerline. You can also get us on Twitch. You can also get us on the text line. And I guess your Astros just hit a home run, so it's now, what, 3-1 or 3-2?
3-1.
3-1. Why you're in there crying?
I'll turn it over to Lance here in just a second. But they talked on the bench this morning about how yesterday he let the team down by not tweeting out his score some runs tweet. And he tweeted, I made sure when I put him through to the board, hey, did you tweet it out? He said, I just did. And then Carlos hits a home run, and all I hear is through his pot, him screaming, boom, over and over again. Lance, take it away.
Yeah, take it away, Lance.
Well, I mean, I've done it four times, and all four times in the postseason they've scored runs. So, and, you know, we should have had it look like another home run with Kyle Tucker. So, golly, man, Carlos jacked that one. So, yeah, I know you guys are probably going to want to talk Texans, but I'll be honest with you. I mean, I'm excited about not Yuli necessarily, but I'm excited about watching. I mean, the playoff baseball is just still a lot of fun with the Astros. It did make me a little sad to see AJ Hinch's name mentioned with the White Sox. It's like that closure that you're getting that you just know that AJ Hinch is going to be somewhere else. I wasn't very happy how he handled the final, you know, I wasn't very happy with the way that he handled his very last game with the Astros, but I really did like him as an Astros manager.
Yeah, well, somebody's going to want him. It's funny to me that him and Cora both, all these fans are like, oh, you're cheaters. Oh, we want Hinch and Cora.
Trust me, as soon as they get a chance to get their hands on them, they're, you know, these teams are going to fly to jump on either or both of them. You know, if there's two teams, those guys will be at the top of the list.
Lance, your impressions of the Texans yesterday, because I don't know if this was just a one-off because they played such a bad team, if everybody just was just getting rid of the gigantic monkey off their back that was Bill O'Brien. I mean, what do you think happened yesterday?
I think it's a little of both. I don't think Jacksonville's a very good team. I think Jacksonville can, you know, I think Jacksonville can give you some problems if you're not ready for them. But dating back to the game last year in London, I mean, the Texans really walloped Jacksonville last year and didn't let Gardner Minshew get going. Yesterday was more of the same. I thought they did a pretty good job of, you know, getting some pressure in the pocket. They didn't let James Robinson go crazy. That was really the key. I mean, they ran the ball and didn't allow the other team to run it. And that's, you know, that's been the first time that's been the case up to this point. Deshaun, you know, he looked more comfortable. I liked that they ran more RPOs. I wasn't crazy about the fact that he just seemed to be missing with his ball placement. And he's going to have to realize that he doesn't have DeAndre Hopkins anymore. Mike Williams isn't there at Clemson anymore. So he's going to have to get finer with his ball placement. He has to throw the ball out in front of crossing routes, out in front of slants. And if he doesn't, then we're going to see what we saw yesterday, which is three deflected passes from cornerbacks who have kind of easier paths to deflecting the pass and breaking up the pass. So I think he's got to get finer with that. And, you know, he missed a touchdown pass to David Johnson. He threw one at David Johnson's feet on another one. He's not where he needs to be yet, but for the first time, he looked like he was having some fun.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about the interceptions. I mean, I think it's just an awful decision to try to throw into double coverage to Will Fuller. He's going to make that play 0% of the time.
Right.
I mean, you're hoping for interference, right? That's about your only result there.
Yeah, I think he's used to, you know, he could make that throw to DeAndre Hopkins and Hop would have a shot at it. And he just has to know that there's not a guy on his roster that's going to make a play like that. There's just nobody. You have to disregard all that kind of stuff that you've done in the past where you threw it up and let your wide receiver try to make a play. These guys aren't 50-50 ball winners. You know, they're going to lose more of those than they're going to win. So I think he's going to have to really recalibrate.
We haven't gone through the rest of the league yet, but Kansas City loses, Seattle wins again. Who stands out to you the most right now in both conferences?
I still think Kansas City stands out. To me, if you look at what's in the NFC, if you look at what's in the AFC, I think Kansas City has kind of figured out these defenses. I watched some of Cincinnati and Baltimore rather. These defensive coordinators have figured something out on Lamar Jackson, and they're kind of stalling him out a little bit this year. You could say the same thing about Pat Mahomes, though, as Mahomes has been a little bit up and down. But when you look at the teams who legitimately have a chance to win it, I don't think the Colts can win it with Phillip Rivers. I think you're looking at Baltimore again. I think you're looking at Buffalo, and you're looking at the obviously the Kansas City Chiefs. Other than that, I think you got teams who can make some noise, but I don't know that they have the things that you need on both sides of the ball to move forward. Obviously, in the AFC West, I would not give up on the San Francisco 49ers. I know it looked terrible yesterday, but I think Jimmy Garoppolo will round back into shape. The Rams look like a team that has kind of gotten it figured out at the quarterback position again. Goff is playing well. Of course, right now, it will probably take quite a bit for Russell Wilson not to win the MVP award. I don't like the teams in the South. I just don't think that Drew Brees has what it takes right now to win a Super Bowl. I just don't think he's that kind of quarterback. They're going to have to get a lot more from the running game, and we'll see what happens when Mike Thomas gets back. I don't think Tom Brady and his squad have enough. Obviously, the East is a disaster. And when you look at the North, I think you do have to look at Aaron Rodgers. I just don't know that they have enough playmakers on the defensive side, or really even, for that matter, on the offensive side. We'll have to see. Aaron Jones has got to keep breaking off big runs as well. But the Bears, to me, are not a serious contender either. So I think you're looking at about 16. San Francisco, Seattle, I think the Green Bay Packers, and then probably the Ravens, Chiefs, and Buffalo Bills. Those are the six that I like.
You made it. You mentioned Russell Wilson. It'd be hard for him not to win it at this point. Josh Allen's having a phenomenal year.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy who, and on a per game basis, he's throwing for more yards. He's running for more yards. He's thrown less interceptions. Obviously, he plays in Buffalo, so that doesn't help his case. And Russ has done it for many, many years, and oftentimes, if it's close, it ends up being sort of a career achievement award.
Right.
But is there anything holding Josh Allen back? I mean, it seems like you mentioned that teams have maybe kind of figured out Lamar Jackson. It seems like nobody's even coming close to figuring out Josh Allen yet. Yet, not a lot of people are talking about him right now the way they are about Russell Wilson and even Aaron Rodgers.
I think one thing that's going to hurt is that Russell Wilson plays in a conference with division with the Rams, the Cardinals, and the 49ers. Josh Allen plays with the Patriots, who Russell Wilson beat at the end of the game. The Jets and the Dolphins actually are a pretty frisky team. I think that's a team that's not just an also ran. The Jets, we know, are a terrible team, but up to this point, Russell Wilson has to have. You really pointed out Russell Wilson has had MVP caliber seasons like four straight years. He just happens to play in years where guys have had better years. And I think when it's all said and done, it's his turn to win it, just like it was Giannis's turn to win it 2 years ago. It was Harden's turn to win it 3 years ago. I think it's Russell Wilson's turn to win it this year.
I think it'll be interesting. Not this week, obviously, if they play this week, the Bills and the Titans. But I think the week after that against Kansas City, Josh Allen has a chance to really turn some heads, because if he goes out there and he outplays Patrick Mahomes, which his defense may make it look like he outplayed Patrick Mahomes, I think that his name is going to start getting mentioned a little bit more.
Now, Mahomes really gets up for these kind of matchups. So he did for Lamar Jackson. He has for Deshaun Watson. He gets up for these. But I'll tell you what, people owe Josh Allen an apology. I mean, people were very disrespectful to him, like acting like he was a scrub when he was drafted. And he hadn't even played a game. I mean, you can have an opinion about what you thought of him in college, but people who hadn't even done any study, and they just looked at him and they just said, oh, he's, you know, they don't even watch college football. They just say the same things about him that they said about Daniel Jones. You know, I guess they're corny looking white guys, and so they must be scrubs. Dude, Josh Allen is a legitimate talent, and I underestimated him. I'll tell you that right now. I thought, you know, and no, he's not a very accurate quarterback. He's just going to miss some throws, but he makes plays. He makes plays off schedule. He makes plays with his feet, and he's got an arm that, you know, can make explosive plays. And now that he's got some better receivers than he had at Wyoming, it's amazing what happens when you have a guy like John Smoke Brown running or Stephon Diggs running with a little bit of an open window and making big plays for you.
Yeah, I think that Allen, you know, I was probably on that train of guys who were, I didn't badmouth him. The truth is, I just wanted Sam Darnold. I thought that Sam Darnold was better than him, and I'm pretty sure I was wrong. And
no, but you're admitting it. There's still people who are still trying to be right about that. You're not right about Josh Allen. If you're still bashing him, you're not right. You just take the L and move on.
What's crazy is he's arguably the second best running quarterback in the league, and he's got I guess there is an argument. He's got the second best arm in the league. Which is, it's just a rare combination. The guy's a freakish talent, I think. Russ has been incredible.
I've heard different comparisons, but I mean, I think the best comparison really is Cam Newton, because Cam could run. Now, Cam was a little bit more of a battering ram type runner, but they both have big arms. They both are a little bit erratic throwing the football. Both of them can be off a little bit from an accuracy standpoint and then land a 60-yard touchdown in your lap and then run for 60 yards and including a 17-yard scramble at the end of the game to beat you. And they can both make winning football plays. I mean, Cam's getting a little beat up and he's got some years on him, but I think they have those similar traits where there's a sliding scale. You don't worry as much about the accuracy because he's able to make explosive plays with his feet. And like you said, it's one thing to be a guy who runs or is an effective runner. It's another when you have the arm talent he has. And it's not just an arm to throw at 70 yards. I mean, even at Wyoming, he had some throws where he would roll right, and he would throw it on a dime, on the move, 40 yards down the field to a guy who was crowding up against the sideline. I mean, it was just some incredible throws.
I think the difference is Cam Newton turns the ball over more. Josh Allen threw 9 picks last year. Cam Newton never had a full season where he threw single-digit interceptions. I mean, and Josh Allen's thrown 1 this year. He just takes better care of the ball.
Well, that's why Brian Daboll's name is probably going to be mentioned with the Houston Texans in terms of a head coach. I mean, at the end of the day, I think, you know, everyone's going to talk about Bieniemy, and that's great. I think Eric Bieniemy is a great coach. I think one of the other names that's going to be mentioned, though, is Brian Daboll because of what he's done with Josh Allen. And we've talked about it before. I just think people tend to default into the most important thing being developing the quarterback. And it is. It doesn't always have to be the head coach. You just have to hire the right coach to do that, even if you get a defensive coach. But I think when it's all said and done, the Texans will hire a head coach who is expected to get the most. Man, Lance McCullers is just ridiculous today. If it weren't for that 3-run homer after the error. If you are to move forward as an organization, Deshaun Watson has got to become an elite talent. Yeah. And that's that, because they just don't have enough. They don't have enough talent right now. I know people think there's all this talent on their roster. They're not good enough to be a legitimate playoff team this year. They need more help. And so to play better than they're supposed to, it's 100% going to be on Deshaun Watson. He's just going to have to make more explosive plays.
Fred mentioned this at the beginning of the show, and I guess I hadn't really thought of it until he said it, but the Texans' run defense looked so much better yesterday, and Bernardrick McKinney's out for the season. Is it possible that he was, like, I mean, I know he wasn't the solution. Is it possible that he was the problem?
No, it was. So I went back and kind of watched it kind of close. I think Zach Taylor was. I mean, I think Zach Cunningham was more of a problem than Bernardrick. Bernardrick's not fast sideline to sideline, but in terms of stepping up in the hole and meeting a lead block, he was doing that. I think the problem was you were having Zach Cunningham wasn't great with his run fits, and they were getting beat along the defensive line. So, to be honest with you, I thought 50 was just very average yesterday in his place. And I don't think Bernardrick was really the problem. I also don't think Bernardrick is worth the money they're paying him because he's a two-down linebacker.
Right.
I mean, so you're paying him way too much for that.
So leading the team in tackles and 1.5 tackles for loss is average?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're talking about in a given game?
Yeah, well, no, I'm talking about yesterday. I mean, I think he looked better than McKinney, who's great if you run right into him. This guy actually was able to do some lateral movement, shoot into the gaps and make some plays.
Let's get a running back that's faster than James Robinson. I know James Robinson's everyone's cause célèbre right now, but he's not very fast through the hole. I think you're going to see him really come back to the pack. And I mean, he's faster than David Johnson through the hole, but that's not really saying a whole lot. By the way, if they give Duke Johnson more carries next week, mark my words, you will see the difference in the running game between 25 and 31. It really, they're making a big mistake by not giving the ball more to Duke Johnson. A big mistake.
All right, that's Lance Erline. You can hear him every morning on the bench. Lance, tell the people about Texas Star Grill Shop.
Well, I've been using Texas Star Grill Shop for, and I'm not talking about yes, they have a fall grill sale going on right now where you get some unbelievable deals. And you can walk in there with no idea about what kind of grill you want, or you can walk in there with every idea about what exactly you want. And they're going to help you find what it is that you're looking for. They will help you do that. But when I tell you it's a one-stop shop, you can get a brand new grill that is going to be unbelievably durable, unbelievably consistent with the temperatures that it cooks at. They have the probes that you can plug into the grills, like the Traeger, and put it right into the meat so you can monitor the internal temperature so it cooks perfectly. My beef tenderloins, steaks, pork chops, perfect chicken, perfect every time because you always know what the internal temp is. But I'm telling you this, they've also got rubs, marinades, and every barbecue accessory you can possibly imagine. It is a one-stop shop, and there's three shops with a fourth coming. So you've got Spring, you've got Katy, and you've got right there Greenbrier and 59 right there on the exit. And stop in, go see Texas Star Grill Shop and take advantage of the great fall sale going on right now. Delivery and assembly is guaranteed free all the way through this month.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. Astros still trailing 3-1. At least Morton's out of the game. Not that they're hitting anyway, but... So we haven't gone through the rest of the games, and that would be a good time. Obviously, got Chargers-Saints tonight. Texans-Jaguars, we've talked about enough. Panthers go in and beat the Falcons 23-16. This is my dark horse candidate for coach next year, Joe Brady. Teddy Bridgewater looked pretty good. Of course, everybody does against the Falcons defense. And now Quinn and Dimitroff fired. Falcons in the same boat as the Texans now. They'll be looking for a new coach.
And a new GM, yeah. And there's a lot of people saying they should trade Matt Ryan and stockpile draft picks, which I don't know if I agree with that or not. I still think Matt Ryan's pretty good. He sucked yesterday, but I still think he's pretty good and still a guy who's got 3-4 more years of good football left in him. But
who are you trading him to? Because you would be trading him to a team that needs a quarterback to contend. Who is that right now?
Trading with the Dolphins?
Maybe. San Francisco?
Now you're talking.
Yeah.
I don't even
get him back
that.
With Shanahan?
Yeah, Kyle Shanahan and Matt Ryan connection back at it. Yeah, I mean that's one place that could conceivably
work. I do think if you can find something like that, it might be worth looking at because you're obviously going to have a high pick and there's at least two pretty damn good quarterbacks available. And that would ensure that you kept losing games.
Colts
would be a good one. Yeah.
I mean,
although I think, boy, it'd be hard for them to punt on Phillip Rivers four games.
How about this one? Cowboys?
Ooh, it's not a bad thought either. I like 49ers, though. That's where I'm going.
That's probably the best one.
Yeah.
But either way, I think that while Matt Ryan hasn't been good, they've got a lot of issues there on that team, and a lot of injury issues. And
their defense is awful.
That
was one of their better defensive performances yesterday.
I think they need a fresh start. They've needed one, and we'll see how long it takes them to bounce back. But that's another team. I will say this, and I heard Josh talking about it, like, what's a better job? Like, where would you rather be, Atlanta or Houston, if you're a coach deciding? And it's a tough call. And one thing that Atlanta will have is a high draft pick. I'd certainly rather be the GM in Atlanta than here.
Yeah.
But you either have Deshaun Watson, who you assume is coming into his prime, or you have the last couple years of Matt Ryan and a high draft pick. It's a tough call to make.
Yeah, I think it just depends on who you feel more comfortable with as a coach, because it's pretty good to have two quarterbacks like that to choose from. And I think that both of them have problems throughout the roster. But Raiders beat the Chiefs 40-32.
First loss since November 2019 for the Chiefs.
Patrick Mahomes throws his first interception of the season. And it gets run back for a score. But you know what? The Raiders just had a really big second and fourth quarter and played really well. Came up with a big turnover. Derek Carr had himself a game. Patrick Mahomes was a little bit off. And they still put up 32 points.
Yeah.
So.
Good effort by the Raiders. And that's a big win for them. And, you know, we've talked a little bit about, when are the Raiders going to get over that hump? Maybe this is the kind of win that starts pushing them in that direction. I mean, they're a game out of first place now.
Cardinals 30, Jets 10. This was my best bet of the week.
The Jets are so horrible.
Yeah. I mean, just fade the Jets every week.
They can't cover. Whatever the number is, they can't cover.
That DeAndre Hopkins guy had another pretty good game.
Yep.
But then again, it's the Jets. Steelers beat the Eagles 38-29.
Well, game felt closer than it should have been.
Yeah.
A lot more points scored than I thought there was going to be scored. Steelers 4-0, though. Look at that.
And, you know, I know the Eagles aren't playing very well right now, but they did get some points against what I think is a really good Steelers defense. They're just not good enough.
Here's my question, though. How real are the Steelers? This is their schedule: at Giants, home Broncos, home Texans, home Eagles.
Meh.
So we have no idea.
Yeah, we'll find out when they play.
Hell, they've got Cleveland this week.
Should be
a pretty good test for both teams, honestly.
But Carson Wentz, he just doesn't have any weapons, and it makes him look worse. Rams go in and beat Washington 30-10. The cool story here was Alex Smith actually playing football for the first time since the injury.
Cool story. Did not look like he's going to be good at football. And Kyle Allen getting hurt looked like it was going to be a close game until Kyle Allen got hurt.
Yeah.
And
he was actually running the offense pretty well.
Yeah. 9 for 13. Then Alex Smith comes in, and this is, listen, I'm not trying to poo-poo the story that is Alex Smith returning. But when you have...
He doesn't need to go back in again. He came out there, he got on the field. You can go back to the bench.
When you're 9 for 17 for 37 yards, I don't think you should be playing quarterback in the NFL.
That's
6 sacks. 6 sacks.
I'd be worried about re-injuring myself.
I would too. Do you know what his QBR was?
Like 1.7?
3.2.
Oh, damn. No, it's closest without going over. So
that's true.
Yeah, but I mean, it's... It was cool to see him back on the field, but obviously you don't want to see it again.
And
they're talking about trading Dwayne Haskins. Again, what's the market for Dwayne Haskins?
What's your value you're getting for him? But, I mean, maybe a late-round draft pick, and it's something. But, yeah, there's not a lot. I will say this, and I was one of the guys who kind of kicked dirt on his grave. Jared Goff, maybe he's finding it again.
Yeah.
You know, this has been a pretty good season for him. And yesterday was another good day.
Ravens beat the Bengals 27-3. Ravens, easy win, but not explosive on offense.
Against the Ravens is like the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
And Joe Burrow had no chance yesterday against that team. They were too aggressive up front. They won the battle in the trenches all day long. Joe Burrow was under pressure all day long. I think 7 or 8 sacks. Like, he just he didn't have time to do anything. And because of that, they weren't really able to get the run going. And it's a chicken and egg type thing. It was just a total disaster for what's been a pretty decent-looking offense. The Ravens had their way, and the Ravens were able to kind of just coast in this game. They didn't have to do a lot.
Yeah, I mean, the offense still doesn't look as explosive right now, but
they did average 6.7 yards a carry.
Yeah, but
that's pretty explosive.
Yeah, except in early last year against teams like this, they're putting up 45.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they did what they needed to do. I think the score could have been
higher. Could have been. They controlled the ball because, they're looking to get out of there with no injuries. They, and when they did score, it didn't take them very long. They broke off a couple runs and scored. And the Bengals kept giving them the ball back. It was, you're right. 27 seemed, if you watched any of that game, which I didn't watch the entire thing, but it just felt like they were so much better than the Bengals that they could have done what they wanted with them, and they kind of didn't. And the fact that the Bengals kicked a field goal with 32 seconds left so they didn't get goose egged.
Yeah.
I mean, they did what they wanted to do in that game.
Hmm. All right. Well, we'll go to the rest of them after we have a Carbog discussion.
Yeah. Just one more number that I found interesting. This was at with 12:49 left in the second quarter, the Ravens were already 98.1 win expectancy. I mean, that's how bad it was. I got to tell you guys about Carbock, sweet, delicious Carbock. And I know right now they're having a watch party out at Carbock. If you're looking for a place to go watch the Astros game, Carbock is a great place to do it. They're giving out bobbleheads to the first few fans that show up. And I think they've been doing that every day. So get on out there, have yourself a Crawford Bock, or if you want something else, you can get that too. I don't know if my beer's on tap right now or not. I did say go ahead and keep the kegs that you had saved for me and put them on tap at Carbock for the people. Why? Because I'm a man of the people, as we all know. And guys, they've got something for everybody. The food there, outstanding. Great place to take your lady. You're looking for a date place. It's a great, so it's kind of like, oh, I get to go to a brewery, but I'm also taking her out for a nice meal. So it's pretty much a win-win situation. Follow Carbock on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. That'll get you the heads up on everything they've got going on at the brewery and at the restaurant and all that good stuff. And when you're out and about, make sure you pick up some Carbock.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. We'll continue with the rest of the NFL action from yesterday. Dolphins beat the 49ers 43-17.
I don't want to say that I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo's good. I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo's nearly as good as people think he is. And I said last year, they got to the Super Bowl in spite of Jimmy Garoppolo. Like despite him. It's amazing that they were able to go as far as they were with a mediocre to below average quarterback. It's starting to catch up with them a little bit. As the injuries, as the rest of that roster depletes.
Yeah, where he doesn't have quite the talent around him.
Because it's such a great roster, but it's...
Matt Ryan to the 49ers.
A bad call.
4-1 Tampa, by the way. Here's an interesting stat on Ryan Fitzpatrick. Their two wins, his QBR has been 99.1, which is almost perfect. That was yesterday. And 97.1. The three losses, 61.9, 64.9, 70.4 against the Bills, which actually is pretty good against the Bills. But basically, if Fitzmagic is on his game like that, the Dolphins win. That's simple. Yeah. So, yeah, but that was, and that one was over early. But that team is not bad, man. And I'm telling you, I think the Dolphins got the one guy out of the New England system who I think can coach. Browns beat the Colts 32-23. We talked about this one a little bit. Colts had to have a big game from Phillip Rivers. They did not get it. And
Baker, really, they just needed him not to screw things up, and he did, unfortunately.
But that's kind of what he does. And if he's having to throw the ball late, he's probably throwing picks. Baker Mayfield wasn't great either, but the Cleveland defense played well, and they still managed to run the ball well, even though, you know, basically a lot of, I think these teams that are all in the same box, whoever runs the ball better generally wins.
Yeah.
Is what it comes down to. And in this case, Cleveland, Kareem Hunt had 72 yards. He only averaged 3.6, but they got contributions elsewhere. D'Ernest Johnson had 32 yards. So, you know, that, I still don't know what either of these teams are. I'm starting to maybe the Browns are better than I thought, and maybe the Colts are still good.
The Browns-Steelers game is going to tell us a lot next week.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to that one. Cowboys-Giants.
Ended up being a really good game.
It did.
But there's obviously the overriding story that takes over everything is the Dak Prescott injury, which it sucks because, and I've seen some people on social media like trying to bully the Cowboys into paying him anyway, and I'm like, listen, Dak got a pretty healthy offer and he turned it down, and he bet on himself. And when you go to Vegas and you put $5,000 down on the blackjack table and you flop 20, you got two queens facing up at you, and the dealer runs out 21 off of a 4-2, they don't say, we're going to pay you out anyway. Sometimes bleep happens.
Well, and it's surprise. I mean, it doesn't surprise me that people wanted to make that an issue. Like, take care of it. You do realize he's getting $31 million guaranteed for four games this year.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, look, I hated that the injury happened. I really admired the fact that he came forward and talked about his depression and all the things he was dealing with. And I think that helped a lot of people who might have been dealing with the same stuff. And I think the kid was having a hell of a season. I still don't know that he's ever going to be a Super Bowl quarterback, but I do think that he's damn good, and he seems like a good dude. So I hated to see it happen, but don't cry for him money-wise. If you can't take care of yourself for $31 million for one year's work, you got bigger issues.
Is he safe or out?
I think he's out.
He came off the bag, but it looked like he already caught the ball when he came off. What do you think, Aaron?
Yeah, Aaron, you're closer.
I think he was out.
Okay.
And
we didn't mention right before we went to break last time, Mike Zunino hit a home run, a solo home run. Rays are up 4-1 now.
Seahawks beat the Vikings. Another hell of a game. And another big game for Russell Wilson. Give him the ball with a game on the line. What do you think is going to happen?
It's hard, yeah. And one of the few bets I hit this weekend was Vikings plus the points. Yeah, Russ is just, that's the guy you want with the ball. And he didn't have an incredible game or anything. He barely broke 200 yards. But when the moment was there, he made the most of it, and that's what he tends to do. He ran the ball well yesterday, too, which is big for them. And Kirk Cousins looks like he's getting better. They ran the ball well yesterday, the Vikings did. I think the Vikings are finding it. But Seattle's just a tough team to knock off, man. And if you open the door for them, Russell Wilson's the last dude you want to see. It used to be Drew Brees. You didn't want to leave any time on the clock for Drew Brees. I think now Russell Wilson is that guy.
Yeah.
You don't want to leave any time on the clock. You could have kicked a field goal and gone up 8 points.
Andrew Luck was a lot like that, too.
Yeah.
In his prime.
Yep. Russell Wilson's a scary dude with any time left on the clock.
All right, so then tonight we have
Saints Chargers tonight.
Tomorrow,
no Michael Thomas.
Yeah,
he's got an altercation with a teammate.
dude, what are you doing? I need you to cover 7.5 to win that pool.
I lean the other way.
Oh, I do too, outside of 7. But at the time, I you know, when I had to turn it in on Thursday,
yeah,
I like to play. And 4-0, so I'll need one more.
Yeah, I wish you luck. I'm not playing the game tonight. I'm gonna sit out.
Yeah, that's the only thing I'm going
to. Part of me wants to play the over, which I normally don't play Chargers overs. The number's getting pushed down with the Michael Thomas news. But as I've noticed with the Chargers, each week since Justin Herbert's been in there, they've been going faster and faster. And now with no Austin Eckler, I doubt they're going to want to run the ball as much. I think they're letting Justin Herbert chuck the ball around a little bit. They're not doing the Chargers thing where they like drain the play clock down to one and snap it like they always did with Phillip Rivers. They're a little bit more of an up-tempo team, which is, it goes against everything Anthony Lynn's ever been. But they hit the over last week and stuck it in me. And if I had a play on this game, it would be the over.
All right.
And then Bills Titans Tuesday, hopefully.
Yeah, I hope so. I was kind of screwed on my fantasy team this week anyway, because Aaron Rodgers was off and then Eckler was hurt and Nick Chubb was out, and so I had to put a bunch of scrubs in there. I still have Stephon Diggs, and if he can get me 42 points, I'll rally. But
well,
yeah.
Do you play in a five PPR league?
Not quite. No. Well, so this was pretty much a write off, but that's, so I don't feel so bad if they don't play the game, because I don't think that's going to happen against the Titans. So 713-780-ESPN. If you guys want to get in, 713-780-3776.
Here's a ESPN Stats and Info just tweeted this out about Carlos Correa has hit 5 home runs this postseason, all as a shortstop. It's the second time he's hit 5 home runs in a postseason as a shortstop. He did it in 2017. All other shortstops in MLB history have done so once. Rich Aurelia had 6 home runs in the 2002 playoffs. So Carlos Correa, playoff Carlos is a freak show.
All right. We are going to take a very quick break. When we come back, we got a gym of the day. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. We were talking about that. It's one of the dumbest bets you can possibly make is, what do you risk? $240,000 to win?
$3,400 on BYU Moneyline. And UTSA was leading in that game.
I almost want people to lose those bets.
I often wonder if, and I'm no expert in this, if that's like a money laundering.
Oh, I'm sure. Thing. It's got to be, right?
Because now suddenly, it's got to set off red flags, I'm sure. But now you've got money coming back to you that's reportable taxable income, which is what you're looking for.
Right.
But yeah, it's a.
I'm no expert on money laundering. I still to this day, I've had it explained to me every possible way, and I just don't get it. So, but that seems like something you would do. I know a lot of guys used to do that at the racetrack. They'd go make these huge show bets, and that's how they were laundering the money. So, you know, but maybe it's legitimate. Somebody just thought, oh, I'll win $3,000. I'll risk $250,000. All right. Let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
So we have a new Karen.
Uh-oh.
Apparently, I don't know if you saw the video where the woman threw a puppy at a black man. Angry woman.
No.
Well,
Was it a white woman?
Yes, it was.
It will piss you off to no avail.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the video, then you know, go watch it after the Astros lose or something. But
come on, friend.
What? What?
It's there's still a chance.
What inning are they in?
Bottom of the eighth.
Okay. Who's in to pitch?
Scrub.
Ah.
Basically, they're conceding.
I heard like Josh and Nick were talking about they like Lance McCullers' new hair. I think he looks kind of gross. I don't like it. Like, he looks – I don't trust him with that. It's a – he looks like he's a nefarious – like a drug dealer, or he's just up to no good. I don't like that look.
I was gonna say he looks like Colby Rasmus's deadbeat cousin that lives in a trailer. And
I don't like when people's hair is like always wet, no matter what's happening. Their hair always looks wet. That it weirds me out for some reason.
He might be using Colby Rasmus's. So
he could
the
be.
Way Rasmus did that is he would put lotion in his hair before he would go out for a game.
What a weird
thing. So it would stay moist
do.
The entire time.
Why, like, why do you want that to happen?
His claim was that when it stayed moist the whole time, it would hit the back of his neck and it would be cool, so it would cool him down.
Fred?
Oh, I was waiting to finish my puppy story.
Oh, sorry. So I got distracted. Where do you stand on Lance McCullers' new hair?
Not a fan.
Okay. Thanks. So, do you put lotion in your hair?
No.
I didn't think so. All right, tell me about this.
Anyway, the dog got adopted. They raised money, and now he's
was it her dog? Just a random dog?
It's not really clear from the video.
Oh, okay.
She said it was as she threw the dog at him, because he said, "Where in the hell did you get that dog? Why do you have that dog? Is that your dog?" And then she was trying to say yes, I guess, but from reading comments, she did look like she was methed out on something.
Yeah.
Okay.
And but anyway, the dog's
folks, don't throw your dogs at people.
Well, it was actually a nice story that it turned out that they adopted the dog, and
the guy who got the dog thrown at him?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, so it was a positive story.
Well, how'd you meet? Well, he got thrown at me by a crazy white lady.
Yep.
It'll make you mad, but immediately as soon as the dog hits him, the dog goes and scurries behind him and he starts protecting it. So it is a good story too. Or the end of the story.
Yeah, people who hurt animals should really just get.
No, I'm all for having them curb stomp like in American History X.
Yeah.
I'm all for that.
I think we're all three in agreement.
Anyway, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
All right. Well, the one thing I'll say about his hair is. Pitched pretty well today, except for the three runs he probably never should have given up. Those probably should have never happened. But down 2-0, seven-game series, still got a chance. But I don't know, man. I don't think they have the pitching to do this. I really think they needed to win last night, and they just didn't get enough hitting. Well, one run again today, that's not going to get it done.
Yeah, going down 2-0 to this team is nightmare scenario. Now you're going to get Blake Snell. So it doesn't get easier.
Wow, somebody... one of the Vegas guys says that happens way more than anyone thinks with those money lines. Said, I think you're right, man. I think that's a way to launder money.
Yeah, could be. I don't know.
Some believe it has to do with reward club points for casino comps and hotel upgrades.
That would make some sense, yeah, I guess. But
and others suspect money laundering.
Do you... It's funny because when I sit down at the tables in Vegas, I give them my card and then I get points for whatever I'm gambling.
Right.
When I go to the sports book, I never give them my card.
I do at the race book. I get points for every bet I make.
Yeah.
But I don't. You know what? I don't think I have it for a sports bet.
I don't know. Maybe I need to start. Or maybe I just need to never be a person who bets $250,000 to win $3,000.
If I did that, it would be on the it'd be on the underdog. I would have lost more actually. So Yeah, I find that weird. But, I mean, that makes sense on the comps if you're getting like free rooms and stuff and you think there's no way this bet loses.
Yeah.
Which I'll be honest, I would have not thought the thing would have ever been in danger last week. I thought UTSA would cover. I thought the spread was too big. But I never thought that they might lose that football game. Man, a lot of interesting college action that I want to dive into next segment, because somebody asked earlier that did it look like they only had 25% capacity at that Aggie game? Because watching that on TV, it sure didn't look like it to me.
Dan Mullen doesn't think so either.
And
he thinks it had an impact.
I'm just wondering if
just such a stupid thing.
If somebody was there, and now I couldn't see the upper decks or like in the sidelines, because like I said, just watching on TV, but it sure looked like a lot more than 25% in there.
We gave away tickets to two listeners, I believe.
Well, those listeners could probably tell us if one of them would call in and let us know. I'm just curious. I'm not against it. You know, I just it sure looked like a lot more than 25%. And it really was weird watching the OU Texas game, because they clearly were following the rules there.
Yeah.
And it was just very odd. But man, I don't know what to think about Texas. I mean, it's one of the things I did right this weekend was I almost talked myself into betting Texas with Herman as a dog and all that.
I almost did too. I'm glad I didn't. And I think the key is always just bet the over in the Red River game.
Probably.
Always.
Because actually you're on the right side if you bet Texas, because it went overtime, technically.
Oh, not only are you on the right side if you beat Texas. I mean, if it goes in three overtimes, you can't lose, because
right.
they had the ball for it. And if it goes to a fifth overtime, the new rule in college football is you just take turns doing 2-point conversions.
Yeah.
So the most you can lose by after five overtimes is 2 points.
Cover.
I mean, it was just I know a couple people who had live plus seven and a half. That's nightmare scenario stuff there. That's worst way to finish. Although the one team I feel worse for, and we'll get to college football a little bit later in the show, Arkansas should have won that game against Auburn. Arkansas got screwed because you can't claw, like, Bo Nix, he takes a snap and tries to like snap the ball, like he drops it, then spikes the ball, like clocks it backwards, which is a fumble, and somehow the refs just that's all right, yeah, no okay. Big deal.
Yeah. Well, at least if you bet on Arkansas, you would have cashed, sir.
You're right,
and you know where to bet, my bookie, and that's where I did all my action this weekend. And that's where you should be doing yours, because when you win, they actually pay you. And you got the game tonight. You want to get in on the Saints, you can do that. And you can live bet here, too, which is great. One of the things we were just talking about. You get into a game, and maybe you like the team going in, and they get off to a bad start. The spread gets bigger. You can jump in and make money. I've been doing that a lot. You can do parlays, live betting, everything. They've got it all at MyBookie. Easy deposits and withdrawals, and there's just tons of options to get in on the action. If you think the Astros are going to pull this out, you can get on right now and bet in-game on the Astros to win. And if you join today, they're going to match your first deposit 100%. Just enter promo code radio when you sign up. That's promo code radio. And get in on the action with MyBookie. I'm telling you, when you win, they're going to pay you. A lot of websites, that's not the case. These guys, easy withdrawals, no issues at all. MyBookie.ag, you bet, you win, they pay. MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5.